Grace, mercy, and peace are indeed yours from God your Father, in and from his Son, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. St. James the Elder, a.k.a. St. James the Greater, not James the son of Alphaeus, no, James the son of Zebedee and Salome, one of two sons of thunder, with John, of course, so named because of their temperament and their boldness. Both Jameses, James the Elder and James the Younger, son of Alphaeus, apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. But James the Elder, chosen early on in the Lord's ministry on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. James the Elder, who was given the honor of witnessing the transfiguration of Christ and thus seeing a glimpse of heaven, so to speak. James Elder, the only apostle whose martyrdom is recorded in the New Testament, no others. James the Elder, who fell at the sword of Herod. Yes, quite the man was this St. James the Elder, quite the connections and the qualifications he had for the apostolic office, quite the resume. Quite the honor accorded him by Jesus Christ. Yet in our gospel reading for today, we see how badly James the Elder messed up. First, he had the gall, along with his brother John, to give the Lord of the universe, God himself, Jesus Christ, an unqualified command. First thing out of his mouth, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you. What gall? Not even a please master or please teacher or if you are willing, Lord. No, instead a simple do this for us. You know, people today yet bow before the Queen of England before making a request. People kiss the Pope's ring before making a request. And of course, we were trained from little on up to say please and thank you. You remember that line? The child asks for something and there's no please. And so the line is, what do you say? And we all have experienced that. None of that on the part of James the Greater, James the Elder. And if that were not enough, James says to Jesus, let one of us sit at your right hand and one of us at your left in glory. Nice job, James and John, of thinking of others before yourselves. Nice job of being loving servant to those around you. Just a slight dash of self-interest here, yeah? Oh, and by the way, dear James the Elder, you have this glory thing all wrong. There is no glorious earthly kingdom that Jesus is ushering in. His sole glory is on a cross. Do you really want to be at his right hand while he's on the cross? On his left hand while he's on the cross? Give up this idea that you have to be first. Give up this idea that somehow Jesus is ushering in a new Roman Empire with you as the emperor. Simply not true. Listen to Jesus. Don't listen to your own inner corrupt desires and expectations. And when Jesus mentions near the end of the text that his true glory required the drinking of the cup of suffering, and being baptized, being immersed in the bloody waters of the cross, James and John said, oh, we can do that. At best, that is naivete in the extreme. It would be like me saying, oh, sure, I'll fix your computer, although I really don't even know how to turn it on. some truth to that. Jesus caps off this entire discussion this way. Since he had seen James's and John's arrogance, foolishness, desire to be number one, he rebukes them and all of the other disciples who said, hey, wait a minute, don't let them just be the ones who are asking to be number one. Let us be number one too. So Jesus rebukes them all and says that whoever wants to be first will be last, the servant of all. So presumptiveness, rudeness, brashness, extreme self-interest, naivete, failure to see who Jesus really was and what his kingdom was, all characteristics of James the Elder, the man who we remember on this day. But you know, when we look at our own lives, we see many of these same qualities flowing from our fallen condition. It might be, honey, take out the trash. Or it might be, dear, you're not going there. Or it might be, professor, you can't fail me. Or it might be, child, you're going to do this, period. Yes, we are filled with some of that self-centeredness ourselves, just as St. James the Elder was. And worse than that, if we look at our inner thoughts and think about them, people would be horrified. They would realize that our three best friends, deep friends, are me, myself, and I. And that self-interest rages within us, just impossible to put out. Give me the first crack at the new things in the clothing bank. Wow, I can get the best books if I go to the book sale early and grab them all. You know, I can get the highest grade in the class, and I'll be just a little superior to everyone else. Like James and John, we often read situations wrong, especially as to what Jesus' kingdom consists of. Your kingdoms will not be the congregations in which you are placed. If you are looking for acclaim and honor and power in some congregation, then you're in the wrong calling. Go try another vocation. Well, where's the good news in this horrible saga that I've just portrayed? Well, the good news is that right in the midst of our problems and right in the midst of James the Elder's problems is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He sees us, he knows our wickedness, he knows our evil, but yet he says, you are mine, and I love you, and I redeem you, and I will never let go of you, no matter how much you might sin. You are mine, even in the midst of all of these problems, all of these sins. He picks us up in the middle of our broken lives and uses us for his benefit, to love others, to care for others, even though we are beset with our own sins. You see, it's like Jesus were saying, you know, my eternal party that you're headed for, your eternal party that you're headed for is a come-as-you-are party. You are still sinners, but you're forgiven sinners, clothed by my grace. So on this day, we remember and thank God for St. James the Elder, a sinner saved by grace. And also, remember that the Lord remembers you and that you are sinners saved by his grace as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.